الحمد لله رب العالمين، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن نبينا وحبيبنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله، صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال تعالى في كتابه المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أن أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: وما جعلنا لبشر من قبلك الخلد أفإن مت فهم الخالدون. وقال تعالى: كل نفس ذائقة الموت ثم إلينا ترجعون. وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: أكثروا ذكر هذه من اللذات، يعني الموت. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected ulama ikram, brothers and elders, indeed it is an accepted fact and it is an irrefutable reality that every living creature in the entire universe, whether it is the fish in the ocean, or the animals in the jungle, or the birds flying high in the sky, or human beings like you and I, every single creature will definitely perish and come to an end. The verse I've recited before you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very clearly and boldly states, وَمَا جَعَلْنَا لِبَشَرٍ مِّن قَبْلِكَ الْخُلْدِ. Allah says, we have not made eternity for any human on earth. كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Hence, every soul shall inevitably taste death. أَيْنَمَا تَكُونُوا يُدْرِكُمُ الْمَوْتِ وَلَوْ كُنْتُمْ فِي بُرُوجٍ مُشَيَّدَةٍ. Allah says, wherever you are, wherever you may be, remember that death will certainly reach you and seize you upon your appointed time. وَلَوْ كُنْتُمْ فِي بُرُوجٍ مُشَيَّدَةٍ. Even though you may be in fortified forts or in lofty towers, whichever part of the world you may be, in whichever corner of the world you may be, remember that death will certainly reach you upon your appointed time. Whether you're in the Amazon jungle, or in the Sahara desert, or in the peak of Mount Everest, or in the depths of the ocean, death will certainly reach you. قُلْ إِنَّ الْمَوْتَ الَّذِي تَفِرُّونَ مِنْهِ فَإِنَّهُ مُلَاقِيكُمْ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say unto them, tell them very clearly, verily, the death you try to escape from, you try to avoid, you try to flee and run away from, فَإِنَّهُ مُلَاقِيكُمْ. It will certainly grip you one day or the other. In the hadith I've recited before you, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he orders his sahaba, O my sahaba, أَكْثِرُوا ذِكْرَ هَذِي مِنْ لَذَّاتِ. Often remember and discuss, often remember and discuss the topic of that thing which will destroy all pleasures and shatter all lust. Sahaba were amazed, they were astonished. Ya Rasulullah, what are you referring to? What do you mean? قال الموت الموت. He says, I'm referring to death, I'm referring to موت, which will terminate and cut off a person's desires, his aspirations, his hopes, his wants in this world. كفى بالموت واعظا. O my Sahaba, it is sufficient for death to be an admonisher. It is sufficient for death to be an advisor. It is sufficient enough for a believer to refrain and abstain, to shun away all evil, all vice, all sin, all haram, with the mere notion and thought of death. The mere thought of death is sufficient enough to protect a believer from falling into haram. Therefore, Nabi alayhi salam told his sahaba, Zuru al-qabr. O my sahaba, frequently visit the graveyards. Frequently visit the qabristan, because doing so will help you remember death in abundance. فَإِنَّهَا تُذَكِّرُ الْمَوْتِ. By visiting the graveyards, you'll often remember death. My respected brothers and elders, death is certainly a reality of life. As much as many of us are averse in discussing this topic of death, many of us detest and we dislike discussing this topic of death. However, it is still a reality of life. Each and every person will inevitably experience the pangs, the agony, the distress, the difficulties of death. Whether he's rich or poor, young or old, intelligent or foolish, black or white. Hence, there can't be any topic more relevant to the time, more important than the topic of death. Death is something inescapable. None can escape from it. And most certainly, our death, our mort, is drawing nearer and nearer. It's approaching closer and closer by the hour, by the minute, by the second. It was roughly estimated some time ago that approximately every second, the clock ticks, every second, a minimum of two people leave this world. A minimum of two people pass away, which means in a single year, a minimum of 57 million people leave this world. Annually, every year, 57 million people pass away. Let us ask ourselves this question: if our names are recorded in the list of those 57 million people, if our names are written down in the list of those 57 million people, are we ready to face death or not? Are we ready to meet the angel of death or not? The Arabic poet says very beautifully, إِنَّ الْحَبِيبَ مِنَ الْأَحْبَابِ لَمُخْتَلَسُ إِنَّ الْحَبِيبَ مِنَ الْأَحْبَابِ لَمُخْتَلَسُ لَا يَمْنَعُ الْمَوْتَ بَوَّابٌ وَلَا حَرَسُ. He says a man will be snatched away from his company. A man will be snatched away from his friends, from his beloved. لَا يَمْنَعُ الْمَوْتَ. None can protect you against death. None can defend you from the angel of death. لَا يَمْنَعُ الْمَوْتَ بَوَّابٌ وَلَا حَرَسُ. No security guard, no policeman, no army officer. Despite the prevalent technology and weaponry in hand, none can protect you from death upon its appointed time. الْمَوْتُ كَأْسٌ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ شَارِبُهَا وَالْقَبْرُ بَابٌ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ دَاخِلُهَا. The poet likens death to a goblet. He says death is like a goblet from which every soul shall drink. وَالْقَبْرُ بَابٌ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ دَاخِلُهَا. Whereas the grave is a door into which every soul shall certainly enter. Scholars and ulama write that every day the grave calls out. Not a day passes by except that the grave addresses you and I. And the grave calls out and proclaims, أَنَا بَيْتُ الظُّلْمَةِ أَنَا بَيْتُ الْوَحْشَةِ أَنَا بَيْتُ الْوَحْدَةِ. I am that home of loneliness. I am that home of darkness. I am that home of strangeness. Yet this insan is totally heedless and oblivious that one day he will have to enter his grave. The ulama write that the grave is the first stage of the year after. Therefore, whenever Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu, the son-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, whenever he would pass by the graveyard, he would weep so bitterly, he would cry so bitterly, that his entire beard would become moist with his tears. Someone asked him, Uthman, why do you cry so much? What is happening? He replied that the grave is the first stage of the year after. If one passes the examination of the grave, he will certainly pass the examination of the year after. If one passes the test of the grave, he will certainly be lucky in the year after. But Allah forbid, if one fails the examination of the grave, if one fails the test of the grave, he will certainly fail the examination of the year after. Once Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, Amir al-Mu'mineen, he passed by a graveyard. After passing by this graveyard, he made salam to all the deceased ones buried in the graveyard. Assalamu alaykum ya ahl al-qubur. He then addresses them and tells them, أَخْبَارُ مَا عِنْدَنَا أَنَّ نِسَاءَكُمْ قَدْ تَزَوَّجَتْ وَدُورَكُمْ قَدْ سُكِنَتْ وَأَمْوَالَكُمْ قَدْ فُرِّقَتْ. He addresses them and tells them, we have brought to you some news. We have some news to share with you. And that is, your wives, your spouses have already remarried. أَنَّ نِسَاءَكُمْ قَدْ تَزَوَّجَتْ. Remember that your spouses have already remarried. وَدُورَكُمْ قَدْ سُكِنَتْ. Your palatial homes, your dwellings, your palaces are already re-inhabited. وَأَمْوَالَكُمْ قَدْ فُرِّقَتْ. And your wealth has already been distributed. Your estate has already been wounded up. فَأَجَابَهُ هَاتِفٌ. The narrator of the narration states, we heard a voice from inside the grave addressing us. From inside the grave, you heard a voice saying, O Umar, we also have some news to share with you. We also have some information to part with you. That is, أَخْبَارُ مَا عِنْدَنَا أَنَّمَا قَدَّمْنَاهُ وَجَدْنَاهُ وَمَا أَنفَقْنَاهُ رَبِحْنَاهُ وَمَا خَلَّفْنَاهُ خَسِرْنَاهُ. O Umar, whatever we send forth for the year after, whatever we send forth for the akhirat, we have already found it in our grave. We have already found the fruits and the benefits of it in the grave. وَمَا أَنفَقْنَاهُ رَبِحْنَاهُ. Whatever we spent in this world, in the cause of charity, in the path of Allah, we have found it to be very profitable. It was very profitable gain. It was a very profitable bargain. But وَمَا خَلَّفْنَاهُ خَسِرْنَا. But O Umar, what we kept aside for our heirs in this world, what we left behind for our heirs in this world, what we hoarded and amassed in this world, we have totally lost it. It was of no use whatsoever. وَمَا خَلَّفْنَاهُ وَمَا تَرَكْنَاهُ خَسِرْنَا. My respected brothers and elders, none of us know when we are going to enter our grave. None of us know when the angel of death will strike. آگاہ اپنی موت سے کوئی بشر نہیں. آگاہ اپنی موت سے کوئی بشر نہیں. سامان سو برس کہے کل کی خبر نہیں. The poet says, no man knows his hour of death. No man knows his hour of death. Though man may plan to live for 100 years in this world, Though man may plan to live for 100 or 1,000 years in this world, man does not know what will happen tomorrow. Man does not know what will happen tomorrow. Therefore, Nabi alayhi salam told Ibn Umar, "Kun fi dunya ka'annaka gharib aw aabir as-sabil." O son of Umar, O Ibn Umar, live in this world as though you are a stranger. As though you are a stranger. But rather a wayfarer, a traveler, whose maqsad, whose objective, whose destination, his aim and goal is the year after. He's just passing by this dunya as a traveler. He's just passing by this dunya as a traveler. Like how we all know very well, an intelligent student in the class, an intelligent pupil in the class, is that student or that pupil who prepares for the examination well in advance. Throughout the year, he studies very hard for the examination. He's concerned about his examination. Likewise, an intelligent insan, a wise human being, is that insan, that human being, who prepares for death before it comes. He prepares for death before it comes. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma, the great and prominent sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says, أتيت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عاشرة عشرة. Once, 10 of us, including myself, we had the great opportunity of visiting the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Whilst we're seated in his mubarak, in his blessed company, فَقَامَ رَجُلٌ مِّنَ الْأَنصَارِ. When suddenly a man from the Ansar stood up, and he posed this question, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ مَنْ أَكْيَسُ النَّاسُ وَأَحْرَمُ النَّاسُ. O Nabi of Allah, tell me very briefly, very concisely, who's the most intelligent man? Who's the wisest of men? وَأَحْرَمُ النَّاسُ. And who's the most prudent of men? Nabi alayhi salam gave him a very concise and comprehensive answer. قال أكثرهم ذكرا للموت وأكثرهم استعدادا للموت. Nabi alayhi salam told him, the most intelligent man is that person who often remembers death. That person who often remembers death, he remembers that one day he will have to leave this world. وأكثرهم استعدادا للموت. And he keeps himself busy and occupied in preparation for death. He's always busy and occupied in preparation for death. أُولَٰئِكَ الْأَكْيَاسِ ذَهَبُوا بِشَرَفِ الدُّنْيَا وَكَرَامَةِ الْآخِرَةِ. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, it is such people indeed. It is such people indeed who win the distinction in this world and are then raised to positions of honor in the year after. أُولَٰئِكَ الْأَكْيَاسِ. Those are the intelligent ones. Those are the intelligent people. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu says, one day the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam read the following verse. فَمَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَهْدِيَهُ يَشْرَحْ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ. That person whom Allah intends to guide, for that person whom Allah intends hidayah, guidance, Allah expands his chest for him. Allah broadens his heart for him. The term used for this in the Arabic language is شَرْحُ الصَّدَر. That means now a person has no reservations, he has no doubts whatsoever, he has full certitude, full conviction upon his faith, upon his deen, Islam. So that person whom Allah intends to guide, Allah grants him sharhu sadr. Allah expands his chest for him. Allah opens his heart for him. Sahaba hearing this, Ya Rasulullah, wa hal lahu min alama. Tell us, is there any sign for this? What is the sign for sharhu sadr? What is the sign for hidayat, for guidance? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at his Sahaba. He said, oh my Sahaba, the sign for this is, التجافي عن دار الغرور والإنابة إلى دار الخلود والاستعداد للموت قبل نزوله. The sign for sharhu sadr, the sign for hidayat and guidance, is when a person develops within himself a hatred for this worldly life. He develops within himself a dislike against this worldly life. وَالْإِنَابَةُ إِلَىٰ دَارِ الْخُلُودِ. And thereafter he begins to yearn and long for the year after. He waits, he's craving to meet his Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالْإِنَابَةُ إِلَىٰ دَارِ الْخُلُودِ. He yearns and he longs to go and meet his Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالْإِسْتِعْدَادُ لِلْمَوْتِ قَبْلَ نُزُولِهِ. And lastly, he prepares for death before it comes. He prepares for death before it comes. This is the sign to show Allah has guided such a man. This is the sign to show Allah has guided such a man. Al-kayyisu man dana nafsah wa amila lima ba'd al-maut. Nabi alayhi salam says, an intelligent man, a wise man, is that person who prepares for death. That person who reckons his soul, he reprimands his soul. Dana nafsah, he takes hisab kitab. He takes account of his deeds. Like how our businessmen, every month or every term or every year, they do stock taking of their goods. They count, they check their goods. This person does stock taking of his a'mal. He's concerned about his actions. He's an intelligent man. He's a wise person. وَالْعَاجِزُ مَنْ أَتْبَعَ نَفْسَهُ هَوَاهَا وَتَمَنَّى عَلَى اللَّهِ. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, on the other hand, a foolish person, a weak person, a wicked person, is that person who fulfills all his carnal desires. That person who fulfills all his wounds, all his passions, all his desires, and then he places his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Therefore, we find the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his Sahaba, they were always conscious about death. They were always conscious about death. They always were busy and occupied in preparation for death. And we find in the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on many occasions he trained his Sahaba, mentally and socially, collectively and individually. He trained them to prepare for death. He trained the mindset to prepare for death. That we find once he was bidding farewell to his beloved companion Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu an, as he was sending him as the Hakim, as the governor to Yemen. And the narration states that the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was holding the reins of the camel, walking along with Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu an. And he was giving imparting advice, "Oh Mu'adh, you're going to a foreign land. Yassira wa la tu'assira, bashira wa la tunaffira. Oh Mu'adh, make matters easy for people. Do not burden them. Do not make things difficult for them. Bashira wa la tunaffira. Welcome the people. Give them encouragement. Give them hope. Give them khush khabri, glad tidings. Do not chase them away from the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." He's giving imparting advices. He then tells him, "Oh Mu'adh, iyyaka wa tana'um, fa inna ibadallahi laysu bil mutana'imin." Oh Mu'adh, beware of living a very lavish life in this world. Beware of living a very luxurious, a very comfortable life in this world. فَإِنَّ عِبَادَ اللَّهِ لَيْسُوا بِالْمُتَنَعِّمِينَ. Because the chosen bondsmen of Allah, the chosen friends of Allah, the chosen slaves of Allah, they do not live a very lavish or luxurious life in this world. After giving him parting advices, Nabi alayhi salam looks at the face of Mu'adh. "Oh Mu'adh, I don't know how to break the news to you, but perhaps, عَسَىٰ أَلَّا تَلْقَانِي بَعْدَ عَامِ هَذَا. Perhaps you will return after some time. But O Mu'adh, you will no longer find me, rather you will find my grave. O Mu'adh, you will no longer find me, rather you will find my grave." فَبَكَى مُعَاذٌ جَشَعَى. The narration states, Mu'adh radiallahu anhu began to cry profusely. He began to weep and sob like a baby. Imagine at the airport, a father tells his son, "Boy, you are leaving, my du'as are with you. But this is the last we meet. This is the last we meet." Remember the love that Sahaba embodied for Nabi alayhi salam. None of us have ever been imbued by such love. None of us have ever tasted or enjoyed such love for any human being, let alone Nabi alayhi salam. They had immense love for the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muhaddithin write on the day of Uhud, during the battle of Uhud, once Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the mushrikeen forced him into a ditch. They caused him to fall into a ditch in the mountain of Uhud. And of course his life was now in jeopardy, his life was at risk. And the only way to save the Mubarak, the blessed life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was to form a human fortress around the ditch. To form a human wall around the ditch. Immediately Sahaba, without thinking twice, they rushed in, they surrounded the ditch, and they exposed their bodies, they exposed their chests to the arrows of the enemy. And in this way, they saved the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Scholars write that whenever any Sahabi would fall or collapse due to severe pain, immediately the next Sahabi would come in and he would join this human fortress. In this way, they protected the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was the love they had for Nabi alayhi salam. Ya Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling Mu'adh, "Oh Mu'adh, asa alla talqani ba'da aami hada. Perhaps you will return after some time, but you will no longer find me. Rather, you will find my grave." Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is training him to prepare for death. And likewise, he trained his family members, his family associates, his daughters, his spouses. He trained them mentally and socially to prepare for death. Our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, Ummul Mu'mineen, the illustrious wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she says one day the beloved daughter Fatima binti Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she comes to visit her beloved father. What a great visit. The greatest daughter on earth visits the greatest father on earth. She comes to visit her father. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he wakes up from his place, he embraces her, he welcomes her inside, and thereafter he seats her down. Aisha radiallahu anha says, "I saw the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whispering something in her ear." He told her something very softly that I couldn't hear what he was whispering in her ear. And after he whispered this in her ear, I saw her crying very profusely. She was crying like a baby, she was sobbing. After some time, the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whispered something else in her ear that made her smile, that made her laugh. Aisha radiallahu anha says, "I was very curious to know what had transpired between father and daughter. What did the Nabi of Allah whisper in her ear?" I went to Fatima radiallahu anha. I told her, "Oh Fatima, tell me, what did the Nabi of Allah whisper to you? What did he tell you?" Fatima radiallahu anha says, No, ma kuntu li ufshiya sirra rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is a secret between my father and I. It is our secret. I'm not going to expose and disclose the secret of my beloved father. Nevertheless, Aisha radiallahu anha is still very curious to know what did the Nabi of Allah tell her. Repeatedly she goes to Fatima radiallahu anha until she comes to Fatima radiallahu anha after the demise, after the wafat and the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fatima radiallahu anha tells her, O Aisha, since my beloved father has left this world, I will now disclose his secret to you. The first time my father whispered to me, he told me, O Fatima, O my beloved daughter, it may be very difficult to swallow, but every year Jibreel Amin alayhi salam, he descends in the month of Ramadan, and he rehearses, he revises the entire Quran with me once. He reads the entire Quran once. But O Fatima, this year Jibreel Amin alayhi salam, he came down in the month of Ramadan, and he made door, he rehearsed the entire Quran with me twice. وَإِنِّي لَا أَرَاهُ إِلَّا قَدْ اِقْتَرَبَ أَجَلِي O Fatima, I can sense that my time to leave this world is now very close. My time to leave this world is now very close. Fatima radiallahu anha says, I began to cry. I began to sob like a little baby. My beloved father saw me crying in this condition. He took pity for me. He tried to console me. He tried to pacify and comfort me. O Fatima, do not cry in this manner. أَلَا تَرْضَيْنَ أَن تَكُونِي سَيِّدَةَ النِّسَاءِ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ Aren't you happy? Aren't you happy that Allah will make you the queen of the women of Jannah? Upon hearing this, she said, I smile. But we learn from this story, and likewise the story before this, how Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam trained his sahaba to prepare for death. That always they were conscious about death. They always were occupied in preparation for death. Because a wise person, an intelligent person, is that person who occupies himself, who busies himself in preparation for death. Wallahi, all the lofty positions we endeavor to achieve in this world, all our high bank balances, all the smart cars that we drive in this world, our palatial palaces, our palatial homes, will be of no use whatsoever at the time of death. Once Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sitting with his sahaba, he then paints the entire picture of death. He draws the entire picture and scenario of death before his sahaba. He sees a dying person, one who's suffering from the pangs of death. He first looks towards his finance. He looks towards his maal. He looks towards his wealth. Thereafter, he looks towards his children, his family, and his relatives. After some time, he looks towards his a'mal, his deeds, and his actions. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, a dying person, after looking at all these three, he addresses each one of them. That, see, I'm in pain, I'm in agony, I'm in distress, I'm in the throes of death. Tell me, each one of you, how you can assist me and avail me in this condition. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam draws the entire picture of death before sahaba. One sahabi in that gathering by the name of Abdullah bin Kurz, he stands up. Ya Rasulullah, أَتَأْذَنُ لِي أَنْ أَقُولَ عَلَى هَذَا أَبْيَاتَ O Nabi of Allah, do you permit me, do you allow me to put this entire picture and scenario of death into a poetic form? Nabi alayhi salam gives him the go ahead. He leaves, فَمَا بَاتَ إِلَّا لَيْلَةً Next day the sahabi returns. Nabi sallallahu alayhi salam gathers his sahaba. Oh my sahaba, listen to what Abdullah bin Kurz has to say. Subhanallah, in a nutshell, very beautifully, in a poetic form, he summarizes the entire picture of death. He says, Safari Gharib Wazadi Layyubaligani. He says, my example and the journey that lies ahead of me. My example and the journey that lies ahead of me. Safari Gharib Wazadi Layyubaligani. My journey is very far, my path is unknown, and my provisions are very little. Inni wa ahli walladhi qaddamat yaday kada'in ilayya suhbahu thumma qa'ili. لإخوتي إذ هم ثلاثة إخوة أعينوا على أمر بي اليوم نازلي. He says a dying person first looks towards his finance. He looks towards his maal, his wealth. Thereafter he looks towards his children and lastly towards his a'mal, towards his deeds. He then addresses each one of them. That see, I'm in pain, I'm in agony, I'm in the throes of death. Tell me how you can assist me and help me and benefit me in this condition. So first his wealth comes up. He was a very wealthy man. He was a prominent businessman. He traveled the world. He sat in big, big meetings. His wealth comes to him and tells him, فَقَالَ امْرُؤٌ مِّنْهُمْ أَنَا الصَّاحِبُ الَّذِي أُطِيعُكَ فِي مَا شِئْتَ قَبْلَ التَّزَايُلِي فَأَمَّا إِذَا جَدَّ الْفِرَاقِ فَإِنِّي لِمَا بَيْنَنَا مِنْ خُلَّةٍ غَيْرُ وَاصِلِي His wealth tells him, as long as you are breathing, then we have relation. As long as you are living, then we have relation. And I can get you admitted in the best of hospitals, the best of clinics. I can get the best of doctors to treat you and operate on you. فَأَمَّا إِذَا جَدَّ الْفِرَاقِ But once I see death is now imminent, once I see death is now becoming apparent, the first to withdraw will be me. The first to leave you will be me. فَخُذَ الْآنَ مَا أَرَدْتَ مِنِّي Whatever you to make use of me, make use of me now. Dispose of me now. Once your eyes will close, I will have to separate. I will have to leave you. I will become the wealth of your heirs. He says this is his first brother and this is his wealth. This is the response, this is the response of his wealth. Thereafter the second brother comes. And this is his family members. This is his children. فَقَالَ امْرُؤٌ مِّنْهُمْ قَدْ كُنْتُ جِدًّا أُحِبُّهُ وَأُوْثِرُهُ مِنْ بَيْنِهِمْ بِالتَّفَاضِلِ غَنَائِي أَنِّي جَاهِدٌ لَكَ نَاصِحُ غَنَائِي أَنِّي جَاهِدٌ لَكَ نَاصِحُ لَكِنْ إِذَا جَدَّ جَدُّ الْكَرْبِ غَيْرُ مُقَاتِلِي. His family tells him, oh our beloved father, oh our beloved brother, remember we not like your wealth. We will stand you to ride till the critical moment of death. We will stand you to ride till the end. We will liaise with the doctors. We will be very concerned about you. We will do the best we can do for you. لكن إذا جد جد الكرب غير مقاتلي. But we will not be able to fight and argue with the angel of death. We will do all that we can do for you. But we will not be able to fight and argue with the angel of death. ولكني باكن عليك ومعول. He says, I will cry and mourn over your death. I will sympathize over your death. I will cry in such a way that the world will say, I loved you. وَمُثْنٍ بِخَيْرٍ عِنْدَ مَنْ هُوَ سَائِلِي. Whoever will come to pay the respect, I will speak very high and great about you. I will say, my late brother was such a wonderful person. My late son did this for me, he did that for me. And as time will go, you'll be given ghusl, you'll be given kafan. I will stand up with you, I will hold you, I will carry you. I will walk with you right to your grave, right to your qabr. Because you were so beloved, you were so dear to me. Then the Sahabi says, ثُمَّ أَرْجِعُ مَقْرُونًا بِمَا هُوَ شَاغِلِي. Oh my brother, I will lower you in your grave. And this is where my help will come to an end. This is where my help will come to an end. Because since the time you took ill, I haven't been eating properly. I haven't been drinking properly. Since the time you took ill, I got many errands to sort out, many matters to resolve. I will lower you in your grave and I will have to leave you. Thereafter some time will pass by. The Sahabi says, the words of the Sahabi, Abdullah bin Kurz, he says, كَأَلْ لَمْ يَكُمْ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَكَ خُلَّةٌ وَلَا حُسْنُ وَدٍ مَرَّةً فِي التَّبَادُلِ. Initially, it will be very difficult for me to speak about your death. Initially, it will be very difficult for me to speak about your death. But as time will pass by, I will forget you in such a way as though we had no relation or no contact whatsoever. With a smile on my face, I will speak about you, and not even a drop of tear will flow from my eye. Brothers, with the death of every man, life still continued. With the death of every man, life still continued. How often we hear this person went, that person went. This alim passed away, that mufti passed away. Will our time also not come? Will our time also not come? Remember, the only thing that can help us at the time of death will be our a'mal, our good deeds, our good actions. Allah says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوَعَدُونَ. Those who say our Rabb is Allah, those who say our Lord is Allah, and thereafter they are steadfast upon the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are good Muslims, they are strong believers. Allah will send down angels at the time of death. These angels will come down and they will give them glad tidings. They will give him glad tidings. They will give him basharat, khush khabari. Allah takhafu. Do not fear what's coming ahead. La takhafu. Do not fear. No need to fear. Wala tahzanu. Do not be worried about your family. Allah will take care of them. Wa abshiru bil jannati allati kuntum tu'adun. Receive glad tidings from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Glad tidings of jannat which Allah has promised you in the Quran. My respected brothers and elders, whilst we got this opportunity, whilst Allah has given us life, let us try and make some amends and changes. Let us rectify ourselves. Let us make sincere tawbah and istighfar before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before it is too late, before the angel of death will strike, then we can cry, we can plead, we can scream, but it will be too late. May Allah inspire one and all. May Allah accept one and all. May Allah give us the realization that one day or the other we will have to leave this world. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.